For decades, the patriots of Eastern Europe fought against communism. Despite the threat of imprisonment and near total censorship, they continued to speak out. They called themselves dissidents. Ultimately, they prevailed against tremendous odds. Now, at long last, American patriots are speaking out against the forces that are destroying this country. This program is the voice of those patriots. This is American Dissident Voices. Your host is Kevin Alfred Strom.
Thank you, Richard Cotton. Today's program was written by Ian P. McKinney and edited and produced by Kevin Alfred Strom. A few years ago, while living in southern Louisiana, I had a need to obtain an herb that my wife had used for making a tea from which she obtained some relief from a digestive disorder. Normally, we obtained this common herb from the local health food store. However, in this part of the state, there were no such stores nearby. Upon investigation, we discovered through a small advertisement an establishment in a nearby town that offered herbs which we hoped would be able to fulfill my wife's needs. The store had a strange name. It was called The Shining. As we made our way to the address given in the ad, it became apparent that we were entering a neighborhood inhabited almost exclusively by blacks. When we arrived at our destination, we saw a small, brightly colored wooden frame house with a large concrete cauldron at the entrance, spewing forth a billowing cloud of smoke. Undaunted, we left our car parked on the street and proceeded into the establishment. Upon entering, we saw the proprietress, a large black woman attired in African clothing and various pieces of unusual jewelry. We were curious about this odd store, and since the woman seemed to be busy stocking shelves and doing other chores, we decided to have a look around. In an adjacent room was displayed a bizarre assortment of items. Among them were what I would call prepackaged voodoo kits, consisting of cloth dolls approximately 8 inches long, together with a number of large pins. The voodoo dolls were available in either male or female, black or white. We realized that these were not play toys or joke gifts, but real voodoo equipment. Next to the dolls, there were a dozen or so large candles that had various phrases printed on them. One such candle had printed on it, "Law keep away." I surmised that if one were to light this particular candle, then it would render one impervious to arrest by law enforcement authorities. Could be useful to people in certain lines of work, I suppose. Another had the message, "Lover, come back." Yet another was emblazoned, "Bring money," evidently for those in need of some quick cash. There were a number of other candles, each with a different apparent function, but I can't recall them all. However, the implication was that by burning a particular candle, it was possible to either cause or prevent some specific future occurrence. On a table on the other side of this room were located what were called mojo kits. These consisted of small bags containing bits of cloth, feathers, small stones, and other assorted items. I later discovered that these mojos were somehow imbued with supernatural power and were intended to be carried on one's person for either warding off evil spirits or to bring the bearer good luck. As we returned to the main room, we noticed on the far wall a set of shelves reaching from the floor to the ceiling that held dozens of quart-sized amber glass bottles containing various brightly colored liquids. Upon each bottle was a label indicating its purpose. As I surveyed the array of bottles, I noticed labels stating such things as, "Get a job," "Illness go away," "Find a lover," and many others that covered the gamut from cures for what ails you to hexes to vex you or your enemy. I asked the proprietress how this magic was used. I learned that each bottle contained what she called a wash, which was put into effect by pouring the contents into one's bath water and then soaking in the mixture. I neglected to inquire as to whether the desired effect became more pronounced the longer one soaked. Neither did I request the specifics concerning any required depth of the bathwater or any other technical details. Even though she would not disclose the ingredients that made up the magical wash, she did inform us that the price was $15 per bottle, cash, and also that it was absolutely essential to use the entire bottle in one bathing session. I don't know what would happen if you failed to follow instructions, but it probably wouldn't be pleasant. At this point, the front door opened and in walked one of the establishment's customers, a happy and excited black man. He immediately approached the woman and proceeded to inform her that he had just come from a job interview in which he had been hired by a local employer. I quickly gathered that he was convinced that this woman somehow had had a hand in the recent event. He then produced from his pocket a handful of small pebbles that he referred to as wishing stones. Evidently, this man believed that the stones had been imbued with a supernatural power by this woman, and that the new job was a product of this power. Now that he was absolutely convinced of the tremendous potential of the stones, he declared that he was immediately going out in an attempt to find an even better job. But first, he had to have the stones recharged by the woman. She took the stones and disappeared through the doorway at the rear of the shop. A few moments later, she returned and handed the stones back to the man. She assured him that because of the extra power she had put into the stones while in the back room, a better job was now a certainty. He thanked her profusely, handed over her standard fee of $20, and left. Smelling a scam in operation, we engaged the woman in a conversation on the merits of her supposed magic. Overall, I thought her to be a bit more intelligent than the average black, and after talking with her for 10 minutes or so, had the strong suspicion that perhaps she really did not believe in all these charms, mojos, washes, etc., and was simply taking advantage of the superstitious nature of her fellow blacks in the neighborhood. I suspect the average liberal would say that the customers of this voodoo shop, The Shining, were the most ignorant and superstitious of blacks, and certainly not representative of any significant segment of the black population. But what would these liberals say if they could see, as I did, the wall near the front door of this establishment? This entire wall was covered almost from floor to ceiling with the pictures of numerous prominent blacks from the fields of entertainment, sports, and other areas, posing with the owner of this voodoo shop. Most of the pictures contained a handwritten glowing endorsement of some particular charm, spell, or mojo that had been supplied by the shop, underneath of which was the celebrity's autograph. My summation of the black voodoo woman is that she belonged to the group that Dr. Revelo Oliver so aptly called witch doctors living by their wits, extracting a living from the superstition so prevalent among that race. In our short visit to this magic shop, we discovered a world that exists within black culture that few whites would believe. You could cross up your enemies or get uncrossed yourself. Truly, this establishment has tapped into a gold mine. Whatever your problem was, they could solve it for a fee. One of the things I like to do in my free time, what there is of it, is to cruise up and down the radio dial, particularly late at night, looking for the most offbeat and interesting radio programs that I can find. Many of the wildest are directed at the black community and are nothing but voodoo, slightly disguised with a transparent veneer of Christianity. Voodoo dolls are for sale by a minister who claims the dolls will hex or unhex anyone you choose. Dolls, charms, and roots are endlessly hawked on the airwaves, which will take away the evil influence of your enemies who might be working with someone, apparently another witch doctor. One prophet asks his listeners for $100 for a red-hot money blessing. Another asks his listeners if they've been finding stuff around their homes. Dead animals or animal parts, bags of hair or nail clippings, etc. If so, it indicates an enemy working a spell against you, and you need professional help immediately to get uncrossed. Another show features a testimonial from a happy listener who bought a lucky gold coin to keep in his left shoe from the Reverend, and now has a good job and drives a Cadillac. A woman calling herself Sister Truth promises to name your enemies for a donation. Another asks, when you write, for you to enclose your name, date of birth, a broom straw, some dust from your floor wrapped in aluminum foil, and $50 in cash. Another says that you are poor because you can't hold on to money because of an evil spirit. This man promises to exorcise the spirit, after which he promises money will stick to you better. I could go on in the same vein for hours. Some of these outlandish programs are beamed nationwide by stations which refuse to carry American Dissident Voices. This obviously fraudulent nonsense has been on the air for decades, so it obviously pays its way. Now, to any rational mind, this belief in magic spells, mojos, candles, and the like seems ludicrous. However, it is apparent that to a sizable number of blacks, these things are very real and not to be taken lightly. I know that not all blacks believe in such rubbish. The more intelligent ones are probably thoroughly embarrassed by the unreason of their fellows. I know also that there are more and more white people who are taken in by scams not much more sophisticated than these, perpetrated by phony preachers or New Age con artists. While all of you may want to sit back and laugh, the purpose of telling these true stories is not to make fun of the blacks and the silly superstitions held by a significant number of them. Instead, the preceding was done in order to dramatize the fact that many people can come under the influence of irrational superstitions and fears, and thus allow them to rule their lives. Certainly we may chuckle at the idea of magic washes, mojos, voodoo dolls, etc. But are these superstitions, fetishes, and fears really any more ludicrous, any more contradictory to the rules of science and common sense, any more divergent from what we know really exists than the kind of superstitions believed by millions of unthinking white people today? Superstitions such as multiculturalism and its accompanying dictum, strength through diversity, such as world peace or racial harmony through integration. Have the white people who say they believe in such things put any more thought into them than the superstitious blacks have put into their magical charms? Is there anyone who can prove that the moral and practical goodness of diversity is some kind of unquestionable scientific or historical axiom? Can anyone demonstrate that our present policy of essentially uncontrolled non-white immigration is good for America? Of course not. Racial diversity has never been found to be a positive factor in any civilization. As a matter of fact, an excellent historical case could be made that it has been a destructive trend in nearly every fallen civilization of the past and present. Egypt, Greece, Rome, and America all became diverse in their declining years. Yet today we are told that we must accept the importation of every race and ethnic group into America, not to mention that we must tolerantly smile upon every form of sexual perversion imaginable. And we are told that to resist such things is the vilest form of bigotry and moral turpitude conceivable. We are told that without diversity, America will simply not survive. The fact is, that America did quite well without such diversity for a very long time, and the increasing amount of racial diversity parallels almost exactly the decline in everything that made America great. That is a fact that is simply inescapable to any thinking man or woman. Thinking is the key word in the previous sentence. Even without any serious study of the once great civilizations of long ago, it should be apparent to any white person over the age of 30 or 40 who recalls what life was like in the recent past, before such frauds as diversity were implanted in the public's mind, that things are getting worse. Back then, nobody would have dared propose that homosexuality was simply an alternate lifestyle. The America of 30 years ago was not racked with non-white drug gangs, carjackings, open filth and degeneracy of every kind, and our standards of morality had not yet declined to below the level of the hyena. It is clear that large numbers of white Americans do not like what has happened to our country, but unfortunately, too many are still restrained by superstitions and fears. They haven't yet asked themselves why it is now considered acceptable to hear and tolerantly receive the views of people who want to copulate with animals, but it is no longer acceptable to hear the views of people who want white men to marry white women. It is also hoped that by hearing the preceding stories, you can understand how somebody with a vested interest would want to foster certain superstitions. In the case of the voodoo woman, the obvious interest is the continued success of her magic business. Also, after hearing the story of the voodoo shop, you may have some idea of how the enemies of America in the media and government view the superstitious believers in the hokum that they have been promoting for many years. It's a racket that they must guard by all their powers of intimidation, obfuscation, and lies. And it is also a racket in which they themselves, at least at the higher levels, do not actually believe. But they must attack those who speak the truth in order to preserve the fraudulent social policies and public attitudes that are so necessary to their continued wealth and power. Notice how their most strident attacks are reserved for those that oppose the program to turn America into a multiracial hellhole. Notice how anyone that attempts in any way to preserve America as a European nation, or for that matter, anyone who even speaks of America as a better place when the population was overwhelmingly white, is automatically smeared as a hate monger, fascist, extremist, or some other variation or combination thereof. Any individual, any group that is so labeled by the media is not to be listened to. Their views are not even to be considered, and are to be totally expunged from responsible debate. They do not want you to apply critical thought to the destructive alien doctrines now ruining America. We are instead only to react on cue to the trigger words that they have inserted into our minds by dint of endless repetition, primarily through the medium of television. This very old psychological technique is used to short-circuit our thinking processes. The public have been indoctrinated with the idea that to have any concern for the future of our race, to oppose interracial marriage, for example, or non-white immigration, or anything else that threatens us, is, quote, racism, unquote. And to be accused of racism today is supposed to be worse than it of murder. Not too many years ago, the moral paradigm was almost the exact opposite of what it is today. Homosexual sodomy and interracial marriage were illegal acts for which you could go to jail. The moral atmosphere which prevailed was based on the long-standing traditions of our people going back thousands of years. Today, opposition to racial mixture and sodomite perversion are damned near illegal, and if America's enemies have their way, will soon actually be so. The moral atmosphere which now prevails is based on 40 years of Jewish television. The unthinking majority have accepted the new paradigm without thought. Perhaps that is how they accepted the old paradigm too. But a new elite of thinking and aware Americans is being born. They can see that the new moral order is nothing but a scam, with no more basis in reality than the voodoo woman's charms and fetishes. The enemies of America will spare no effort and react in an hysterical fashion towards anyone who threatens their scam, because when white Americans begin to think and to analyze these things, then their power over us begins to slip away. And when enough of us begin to do that and understand that we have been lied to for 30 years and more, then the media master's power will be gone, and they know it. Their hysteria is a product of their desperation. After 30 years of the multiracial experiment in America, the lies that our fathers believed are no longer tenable. That is why our enemies will go to almost any extreme to prevent our message of truth from getting out. That is why, even with their multi-billion dollar television networks, their hundreds of magazines, their national newspapers, and their massive Hollywood movie industry, all combined into a gigantic propaganda apparatus, they are afraid of a few outlets for programs like American Dissident Voices. That is why it is so often front page news when some high school student is discovered to have any kind of pro-white literature, or a public figure makes an inadvertently truthful racial remark, or when anyone does anything that might serve as a spark of our awakening. They are afraid these little sparks of awakening will coalesce into something that the manipulators cannot control.
Breaking down the walls of censorship, this is American Dissident Voices. Send $1 and you'll receive our catalog of suppressed books and tapes, including books and tapes you can't get anywhere else. Send $1 to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
Help me make this program into a 50,000 watt spark of awakening. Please subscribe to our eye-opening monthly publication, Free Speech, for just $40 per year. Free Speech comes out every month, and it contains illustrated articles based upon the very best American Dissident Voices programs, past and present, along with exclusive news on our radio network, and always contains the very latest updated schedule telling you where and when you can hear our program around the nation and the world. When you subscribe to Free Speech, you also qualify for special discounts on books, tapes, and other items published by National Vanguard Books. As a subscriber, you will receive advance notice of new books, audio tapes, and videotapes before they appear in our regular catalog. Subscribe to Free Speech today by sending a gift of $40 or more to National Vanguard Books. Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. As always, you can receive a cassette recording of this or any other American Dissident Voices program merely by sending us $12 and giving us the following information. 1. The radio station on which you heard our broadcast. 2. The date. And 3. The subject matter of the program. If all you'd like is a sample copy of Free Speech and a copy of our Big Book and Tape Catalog for Patriots, which contains over 400 books and tapes that the censors of political correctness don't want you to see, just send us $1. Write to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 6, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to keep on thinking free.
You've been listening to American Dissident Voices.
a beacon of truth for patriotic Americans and for patriots of our Western civilization around the world.
American Dissident Voices depends upon the voluntary support of its listeners to stay on the air.
Please send the largest gift you can afford today.
Send $1 for a book and tape catalog listing over 300 titles that the controlled media don't want you to see.
Our overseas listeners can substitute 2 international reply coupons for the $1. For a gift of $12 or more, you can receive a high fidelity cassette recording of today's program.
Please give us the call letters of this station, the subject of the program, and today's date.
Write to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
That's National Vanguard Books, Department R, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
That's National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
And until the next broadcast, this is Richard Cotton reminding you, as always, freedom is not free, free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
This program is pre-recorded and comes to you from the United States of America.